I've never seen my dad more serious in my life. He's like gripping his steak knife. He's looking at me. He's like, I will rent us a private plane if we can get on the course. I will pay for their wedding if I can get on. I'm like, Dad, wait a second. He's like, your wedding fund is going to Jackson. Welcome to another episode of the Personality Hires Podcast, your favorite coworker's favorite podcast. We're all a bunch of former coworkers who were on a hit radio show. It's called The Burt Show and went RIP last fall when our boss decided he fucking hated all of us. And
yeah, that's what happened.
And he's like, you know what? Screw all of y'all. Go find new jobs. I'm going to retire. And yeah, you've got to move on with your life. So now we meet once a week to record this podcast for your own entertainment. I'm Abby, and I'm joined by Jackson.
Hello.
I'm joined by Rebecca.
I've had to cough the entire intro so badly, and I didn't know what my voice was going to sound like, and this is what it sounds like.
It's bad. So. You want to recut that?
Hi.
Rebecca's a recovering smoke addict.
Smoke addict? Are you doing a weed?
Are you doing a weed? I'm calling the police. And I'm joined by Mikey.
Richie Valens.
Oh.
The first one was so much better. My mic was muted.
Oh, God. Great start, guys. Great start.
I know. We'll do this. So Rebecca's got the tattoo that she's been dreaming of for years, and it looks like a big man with moobs. And she was immediately betrayed by her family. Rebecca, what happened?
I'll tell you, Abby. All right, so you guys kind of helped me idealize, decide whether this tattoo that I was so intent on getting was a good idea.
Oh, don't put that on us. We all said it was a bad idea. Do not put that on us.
Rebecca, can you remind the people what you got a tattoo of?
Yes, I can. It is the Radish Spirit from Spirited Away. And as Abby so aptly described, it does sort of kind of look like a big fat man with moobs,
but it's not. Can you explain the importance of the Radish God to the people?
Of course I can. The Radish Spirit is a spirit in the movie Spirited Away, which is a childhood favorite of mine. He is in the movie for about 2.5 minutes tops, and he never speaks. But he does escort Chihiro, the hero of the movie, up an elevator, and he's very chivalrous, and I really think he's cool. So
he's
I
a doorman,
got
Rebecca. You got a doorman moves tattooed on your body forever.
Yeah, she was like, you know what I want on my body for the rest of my entire life? It's this person who has zero plot development, not an actual character that is in a movie.
Yeah, I got the side character tattooed on the back of my arm, and it's like 5 inches tall. Do you guys want to see?
Pull it up.
Sure.
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Kinda.
Okay. I'm gonna put my mic down so I can show you the tattoo.
Oh boy. All right. Here's the play-by-play. Rebecca is pulling up her sleeve. It's on the back of her. It's on her tricep.
Ooh, it's seductive.
Oh, that.
It's interesting.
Is a tattoo.
I can't even pretend to like it.
Oh, I love it, Rebecca. Yeah. That's really good.
Wow.
It has been really interesting showing people like family and friends and their reactions also like, oh, always like, oh. No one's like outright been like, I love it. No one's been like, that's amazing. They're always like,
you don't say.
Oh.
You know what I like? What I like is you don't seem to care that nobody's having a positive reaction towards this, which is good.
That's the best part of the tattoo.
Yeah, there's the silver lining.
That's definitely an important part of this tattoo. No, I got it for myself because I really like it and I always wanted it. It was something that, because they always say, like, if you want a tattoo, you have to really want it for a few years. And obviously not everybody goes by that. But this is something that I had thought about for a long time. And I was really happy to put it on my body until it was on my body.
Oh, are you having regrets?
Okay, here's what happened.
Oh boy. Oh no. Oh god.
I showed up to the studio, which was an amazing studio. My artist was incredible. She does all my sister's tattoos. She was great. But she placed it on my arm, and it was the stencil that she first placed on my arm was gigantic. Like, so huge. And I was like, listen, I love my Radish Spirit Daddy, my 2-minute side character of Spirited Away, obviously, as much as anybody else, but I cannot have him on the back of my arm this huge. So I asked her to like bring it down, like I think a whole inch. But after that, after she was like so kind to resize it and make it look good, it was just in my head where I'm like, I'm putting this massive fucking thing on the back of my arm. Do I really want this? Should I walk out of this place? I already put a deposit down. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And by that point, the ink was out and I was lying on my stomach and I was like, all right, I'm just along for the ride at this point.
Yeah, she must have used that first stencil because that thing is huge.
It's large. And honestly, when I left and I got home that night and I'm hanging out with Kyle, I crashed out so hard over it.
Oh, God.
No.
I was like, I literally was like, what have I done? Do I even like this tattoo? This is so fucking weird. I am like, I like being like a girly girl now, and I have this big fat fucking radish on the back of my arm, and people are gonna see, what if I get married one day? I have a radish on the back of my arm that has boobs.
Rebecca,
nobody's gonna let you in their wedding party for sure, right?
Rebecca, we've been telling you this for several months now.
The fact that this is shocking to you after we've had so many... Let's rewind also to the fact that this was brought up on the big radio show that we all used to work on over a year ago. And everyone there also said, maybe you should reconsider.
Listen, getting a tattoo in head, in concept... fun, great, amazing. Having tattoo permanently on your body for the rest of your life. I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore, guys. No, aww. Okay. I had 24 hours where I literally crashed out so hard. Every time I looked in the mirror, I was having, honestly, I was dissociating. I was like, I don't know what I've done. This is a huge mistake. But once that 24 hours passed, I flipped it. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Did a couple flips. 160, 180, 180.
160.
180.
If she went 180, she'd be able to see her own tattoo. So she had to go 160. She's like,
this is the perfect angle.
No, and I love it again. I like it. I think it was just the stress of seeing something on my body that is permanent and I didn't have before and kind of just processing that. Because I have 3 other tattoos, but they're really small or I can't see them. So this was my first big girl tattoo. And that was a kind of a big sticker shock that I didn't expect.
So elephant in the room or weird man boob figure in the room. Are you saying that to justify the fact that it is permanently on you? So you kind of have to be liking it, you know?
Do you know what really helps is that I can't see it.
That's what I was going to say. The beauty of this, you're just cursing the world.
I know. It's on the back of my arm. So I'm like, who cares? It's fine. No, but I do like it. I like that people can see it and we can like, you know, have a communal moment about Spirited Away. It's a funky tattoo. I think it's interesting. But will I get another tattoo? I don't think so. I think that's it for me. Honestly, I can't do this again. I can't.
Can I ask, like, I know that when you're at the studio and they're doing, like, the sizing and they put a stencil on you, like, you kind of feel at the whim of what they're saying, but you're also empowered to, like, give your feedback, obviously, because this is going to be on you forever. Was there never a thought of, like, maybe this should go, like, on my butt or somewhere else that is not going to be seen so much?
Honestly, I was I wasn't afraid to speak my mind about how I felt about things because she first gave me a stencil, and this was totally my fault. I had asked for a different design, and she showed up with that stencil with that design, and I had to be like, oh, I don't want that anymore. I don't want him waving the flag. I just want him standing straight. Can you just like go back and like redesign that really quickly for me? So already I had kind of fucked up, and she had to redesign it. And then when she brought it back, I was like, oh, that's actually really big, and I'm freaking out, and I need you to make this like an inch and a half smaller than it is. And she said, okay, but I'm gonna have to change the eyes because they won't have the same level of detail because they're making it much smaller. And I said, listen, close his eyes. I don't care. I cannot have those moves that big on the back of my arm anymore.
The radish god is asleep on your arm.
He's closing his eyes. He's got a little smile. Honestly, it's a lot cuter, I think, than his beady little eyes just being constantly open.
I feel like you need a bunch of those now. Like, not that, but you need a bunch of weird stuff all over to make that one blend in more.
Well, I had like a Pinterest board full of tattoo ideas from when I was like 16. Thank God I didn't get a tattoo. Because I would have so many Harry Potter tattoos now that would be very embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that would be crazy if you had Harry Potter on you.
I know. I had a lot of ideas. Honestly, I could potentially see myself getting one more tattoo, but I think it would take a long time and a lot of thinking for me to commit to another one after I did this.
I guess I can kind of relate to this as somebody who's also made a permanent change to their appearance, because I crashed out the second I woke up from my nose job, which might have been due to the drugs.
I totally get that. I think the difference, though, is that your nose subtlety changes that happen are not going to be picked up by really anyone. Like, no one except for you is really going to notice those changes. Rebecca's tattoo is never going to change.
It is
things like that.
Here's the thing that's crazy, and I like so admire her for getting something that she loves. Like, I know I just made like a hater comment. Like, if this means a lot to you, like, by all means, put it on your body. What I find so bold and brave is that I am so insecure about that part of my body, like the tricep area where she put it, that I can't imagine putting one more thing on there that would make me more insecure. I'm like, good for you, girl. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being so vulnerable about your radish god that is on your body forever.
Thank you.
So I don't know if you guys pay attention to my social media at the Abby Murphy, but my brother got married a couple of weeks ago, and I actually had a conversation with my dad about Jackson while I was there.
What?
That's a sentence I never thought would ever leave my mouth.
Do tell.
So let me paint the picture. I'm at dinner. I'm at my brother's welcome dinner for my brother's wedding. And my dad ends up propositioning Jackson via me. And I'm about to relay the message to Jackson. So I'm at dinner with my dad. And the only thing I know how to bond over with my dad's like the classic like 60-year-old man who went to work and like said four words to his kids growing up, and that's really it. He loves me, and my dad is great. He would take a bullet for me. But like, you know, there's like five things we can talk about. One is food. One is Jackson, apparently. We bond over sending food pictures to each other. So if we're at like a fun restaurant, I'll send like, oh, this is my omelet from Kiki's Cafe. And my dad will go, mmm. And then we won't speak for 6 months. It's great. I have zero daddy issues. That's just how I communicate with my dad. So the other topic that me and my dad bond over is golf. And I will just ask my dad things like, so what was the last golf course that you played? What outfit did you have on?
What's a wedge?
What did you score? What was your what's your current handicap? Things of that nature.
What is golf?
Now golf. Exactly what is that?
Can you explain that to me?
So, like, why do these little golf balls have little divots in it? Can you explain?
I think if they made the hole bigger, it'd be easier. They shouldn't even have water out there.
Why is the floor so high? Like, if I was you, I would just simply, like, hit it in the hole. So anyway, I'm happy.
Better.
My dad recently played one of the most famous, if not the most famous, golf course in the world. He recently played Augusta National. And I'm talking to my dad.
Fancy fans. You should talk to him more.
My dad was thrilled to play this freaking golf course. If you've never heard of Augusta National, which I don't know how, it's like the Super Bowl of golf courses. It's like super exclusive. Only billionaires and Masters tournament winners get to play this course or have a chance to become a member. It's crazy. So my dad somehow got invited to play Augusta National a couple months back, and it was like the best day of his life. And I said, so how do you even top Augusta National? Like, what golf courses could you possibly want to play after Augusta National? And he goes, well, you know, there's only one other course that's really considered as exclusive as Augusta National. And I said, oh, does it happen to be Pine Valley? And my dad looks at me as if I've just been born for the first time. It's as if I exited my mother's birth canal and he's seeing me for the first time. He goes, how did you know about Pine Valley? And I said, well, funny you should mention this, Father. I have a friend that recently played Pine Valley. And then my dad looked at me as if I had four heads. He goes, who is your friend? And I go, my former coworker, Jackson Rod Stewart. And I said,
good reference.
Good reference. Jackson Kim. And he looked at me and he said, listen, he got very close. The lights dimmed. He brought out a gun. He looks at me. He holds the gun to my throat and he goes, listen, I don't think you understand the lengths I would go to play Pine Valley. I said, whoa, okay. Whoa, I'm not, don't want to be
threatened.
What
are we talking here?
Sex.
He goes, listen. You call up your friend Jackson right now. He said, I'm prepared to fly a private plane to Atlanta right now. Pick up Jackson, fly us both to Pine Valley, pick up the member, oh, wow, and roll up straight to Pine Valley. I will pick a hotel of his choosing. I will treat this man to whatever he wants if he can get me on Pine Valley. That's how bad my dad wants to play it. And when I tell you he's dead fucking serious, he is dead serious. He brought up money I didn't even know existed. Do you realize growing up, I couldn't even get a Coke at Outback? That's how broke we were. And all of a sudden, my dad's like, listen, he's like pulling out the black card. I'm like, where did that come from? My dad wants to play Pine Valley so bad. You're like his genie right now. He will grant you three wishes if you can get him on Pine Valley.
That is crazy. It's so funny because it's like you can never have it all. Like, he just played Augusta National, which is, for anyone who even knows any little thing about golf, would be sort of your magnum opus course to play. And the fact that it's still not enough and he's willing to bend over backwards like this is pretty funny. And,
listen, this is what happens when you're 65 and you got nothing else to live for. He's like, I've got the kids. One of them just got married. The other one's alive. He's like, this is what I have left to look forward to. So
you didn't give me a call.
Well, I thought it would be better to bring it up on our very public podcast for the drama.
That is fair point. Wow. I mean, the funny thing is, like, you and I have talked about golf only through the capacity of your dad since, like, we've known each other. Like, I've asked you to text him, like, how'd you play at, like, specific courses that he's played, like, throughout whenever. And
how does Abby talk about golf to so many people and not, like, that's one of you guys' big talking points, too?
No, it's like,
Abby, I didn't know you were such an aficionado at this.
we'll be talking about something, and, like, her dad will, like, has come up about some golf course that he played that she doesn't know, and then, like, mentions it, and I'm like, oh shit, that's, like, a sick course. And so then I'm like, ask him what he shot, like, how'd he get there, like, that kind of thing. So I've had, like, weird conversations indirectly to your dad.
Yeah, you guys are like a mutual friend at this point.
Here's how this works. I think this is the only way this happens. Is you guys are going to have to stoop down many, many levels. You take the member, you take her dad, you take yourself, and you guys go just naming off the top of my head, Shitty Creek in Milledgeville. You got to play the worst course in the country. I think that's the only reason. That's the only way you can justify all this private jet nonsense, going to the fancy place. Go back to the basic, guys. Come on, you can play on dirt. It still works the same.
You know, my dad would never forgive me if he rented out a PJ and you take him to like Chastain Public.
Yeah, I'm like, Abby used to live right around the corner from here.
It's really a nice part of town.
It really is.
Can you explain what the difference is between a good golf area and a bad golf area? What does it do for you?
I mean, it's kind of a big fugazi of nonsense, but there are very nice courses that exist all over the place that anyone can go play. Those would be public courses that, as long as you're willing to pay the green fee, you can get out there and go play around. Pebble Beach is a great example of that. Really well-known course out in California. Beautiful. It'll run you about $800 to play. But it's a great experience. If you're willing to spend the money, you can go play there. And then there's a whole other side of the golf course equation, which is private courses, where it doesn't matter who you are, who you know, how much money you have, blah, blah, blah. If you aren't an active member somewhere, or you don't know somebody who is a member at certain courses, there's basically a 0% chance that you will ever go and play that course ever. And so what Abby's talking about is a course where it doesn't matter if you have $2,000 to pay for a tee time, you will just never be able to play those courses. To answer your question,
I feel informed.
Any follow-ups, Rebecca?
When did ChatGPT take over your brain? Rebecca just became ChatGPT.
TQIA?
Nope. Yep, there you go. That's what I was going for. ChatLGBT.
There he is. Something like that.
I'm like,
Rebecca, you could call me.
There's a joke here somewhere.
Any follow-ups, Rebecca? You were really interested in that question, weren't you?
Yeah, you love the golf talk.
I was wondering if it was something to do with like it's like tennis, like grass or clay. Like maybe you play on dirt or mud or terrain or something. It has
The mud courses are like really expensive.
Yeah, super expensive.
Yeah, there's like Rainbow Road. It's like Mario Kart. No, but when I was talking to my dad, who has played, again, Augusta National, like the most infamous course in golf history, at least in the United States, when I was talking to him about Pine Valley, the course that I'm trying to bribe Jackson to get my dad on, he said that this is like the nicest course ever. And I'm like, in New Jersey? Like the nicest course is in New Jersey?
Yeah, no one really expects it to be there. And also, like, it's funny because I'm sure he was shocked. I mean, like you said, that you even knew that in the first place, because this is one of those courses where it's like an if you know, you know sort of thing. It's not it's a little different than Augusta, where the Masters is played. You know, this is a course that's not really on the public radar so much.
Hey, yeah. Here's an idea. Jackson needs to start giving Abby golf talking points to impress her dad with. It worked once.
Listen, I don't.
You guys might start talking.
This is not family therapy. I'm not trying to win over my dad. My dad and I are on great terms. I got zero daddy issues. What I'm competing for.
You might be able to talk every 3 months.
What I'm competing for here is to become the number one child in my parents' eyes. I'm already close enough because my brother objectively sucks. My parents are starting to see that after 31 years. But if I can get my dad on Pine Valley, I mean, like that's goat energy from a daughter. Like,
here's what I need you to tell him is I'll take the private jet. You know, I'll take all the accoutrement that he's willing to throw in there. Uh-huh. But really, I just need a partner for my member guest that's later this year. And if we win the whole thing, then he's got a full on shoe in spot at PV.
What's member guest PV? And what course? What course is this?
Member guest. Oh, Every like club that you would be a part of will have an annual member guest tournament where a member invites a guest to come play with them. And it's like a huge deal where like you play this big tournament over a few days. And if you win, you get your name up on a placard in the clubhouse. Some places give you like a cool parking spot. Like there's all these like benefits and cool things that go along with that. So if him and I can win that thing together, then by all means.
Come on, you know that. You know that's an impossible task. And also, you don't want You don't want my dad to come play with you on member guest at your. You don't have somebody else in Atlanta that can play with you.
Oh, Jackson, I do, but I'm just trying to sweeten the pot.
He already invited me, and I'm bringing a 12-pack.
Well, listen, the thing is, I'm trying to win this thing.
What if my dad just comes and gives you a fighting chance and also pays for a very expensive meal at the end of your member guest? Can we do that?
Sure. You know what? As long as the private jet is thrown in there, then I'm game for whatever.
I'm telling you, you think
all right, here's something.
You think the PJ is a joke? My dad looked I've never seen my dad more serious in my life. He's like gripping his steak knife. He's looking at me. He's like, I will rent us a private plane if we can get on the course. I will pay for their wedding. If I can get my dad, wait a second. He's like, your wedding fund is going to Jackson.
I was just thinking that member guest sounds like a Nordic holiday where you're all going to dance around a maypole and sacrifice each other. That was what I wanted to say.
Thank you for that, Rebecca.
Considering how many white people you're going to see on the courts, you're not that far off.
Probably not. Probably not. All right. So well, I'll be in touch with your dad. Please send me his number.
Okay. So in all seriousness, what does he have to do? For real. What does he have to do?
See, the problem is he sweetened the pot plenty for myself. He just has to sweeten the pot for the member that he's trying to ultimately schmooze here. That's, and your dad seems like he is your dad a good time on the golf course? Do you know that?
My dad is so lovely. He's a great man. He's not a poor, he's like a good golfer, so he's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to hit the caddy with a golf ball, Jackson.
Hey, watch it.
He's going to dress nicely. He's going to put you guys up in a great hotel. Like, the man's going to make it a great experience. But I told him that. I said, like, Jackson's going to say yes, but the problem is my dad's great, but, like, I don't know that he has anything in his arsenal that could help your man's out.
Yeah, your dad's lubing the wrong pole here. Jackson.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's going for...
What kind of lube does my dad need to
buy? KY jelly.
How do we lube up his pole?
We'll see what we can do. This will be a great follow-up story if we can actually make this happen.
It's for the podcast. It's a business expense.
That's true. That's true. Tax write-off. Love that.
There's a new movie out that is currently the highest grossing film that has ever been made for under $1 million. It's called Obsession. It's this new horror film that everybody is obsessed with. And Mikey was forced to go watch it by his girlfriend.
Yeah, I hate watching scary movies. It annoys me. It annoys me the stress they put you through. Why would you want to do that to yourself? Just sit and watch something fun. But sometimes you got to give up. You got to give the remote. And we watched this movie, Obsession. I'd heard some things about it. I was interested. It's like the youngest director to make whatever. Some kind of impressive thing. Who knows the stat?
He's 12 years old. Right. He's fresh out of
middle
school.
He's 12 years old. This is his 17th movie.
He's an orphan. Man. It's just a crazy story.
Mikey, can you give us a summary for what the movie Obsession is about? Just be aware that we're probably going to give you some spoilers here.
Here's it in a couple of sentences. Spark notes with Mikey. Here it goes. Guy likes this girl. Girl doesn't like that guy. He's scared to say anything to her. He goes to a witch shop or whatever, and he gets these sticks. These sticks, you make a wish and you break them. You break the stick, your wish comes true, apparently. In this world, that'd be a bad movie if your wish didn't come true. And so he says, I wish this... Damn it, it didn't work. So he wishes, I wish this girl loved me more than anybody in the world. Well, evidently, without giving anything away, she moves into his house, like, permanently. My favorite... Has anyone else seen this movie yet?
I have seen it.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet.
My favorite part of this movie is... He walks in from work, and she's still in his house, and he's like, what the hell? And she's standing in the living room exactly where she was whenever he left, like really creepy, covered in piss and feces. And he's like, what is going on? Because he doesn't, like, he won't admit to himself yet that, like, that she is under the spell or whatever. And she goes, she's just waiting for him, and she goes, I think I ate a bug or something.
Wait,
it's the best thing I've ever seen. But what I like about this movie is it's like, I think maybe it's because it was written by somebody so young that the dialogue does not feel dumber than hell. Like, it's not like somebody trying to relate to teenagers. It's like it did come from somebody who knows how people talk. But something odd happened throughout the course of this movie. Is it really freaked me out about my own girlfriend? It was like, are you possessed?
I'm not saying that Trin would stand in the doorway covered in piss and shit and be waiting for you to get home, but I could kind of see it.
It's just like, wait a second, you actually shouldn't like me this much. And like, just some of the small things, like he would get out of bed and she'd go, where are you going? Like, and it's like she just needs like tabs at all time. Like, where are you going?
Do you do a little double take anytime Trin does that now?
No, it was like, I wasn't on anything. I was just watching a movie, but I was freaked out by her. Like, I had a little bit of trouble interacting with her after it. Cause I'm like, I don't know. That just hit too close to home. This is weird. Cause like, and it is one of those things like she started liking him and everyone's like, why? Like, why do you like him? And it's just like, huh, some of this is hitting close to home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty freaky stuff, though. What'd you think about the movie, Rebecca?
I loved it. It's a great movie. It was so, so good. It's one of my favorite horror movies that came out this year. And I think the director you're thinking of is Kane Parson, did Backrooms. He's like 20 years old. Curry Barker, who directed Obsession's like 26. So not totally like the youngest director ever, but they literally. Yes.
How embarrassing.
Listen, I like to be a voice of movie trivia on this podcast, but it literally was shot for $750,000. And I think
that's
just
the fact
crossed...
I was looking for. Thank you.
Yes. It was shot for $750,000 and it just crossed over $250 million, which is
wow.
Why can't that happen to me? Why can't that happen to me? Why can't I do that? That's what I'd like to do. I'd have to like to have a little piece of that. But I am honestly pretty disturbed that Mikey thinks Trin is similar to the poor woman who is in this movie, and I think we need to unpack that a little more.
It's only some things. Like, there was another part where like he wakes up in the morning, she's not in bed, and he's like, oh my god, because she's been doing wacky shit the whole time. Like, she's in love with him, but it's also like, what are you doing? And he walks outside and she's standing by the door with a roll of duct tape, and the entire door is like covered in duct tape so he can't leave to go to work. And I'm like, sometimes that's how I feel trying to like leave and go do some kind of job.
Well, here comes Rebecca's next tattoo, is just a door covered in duct tape.
Oh my god, it's Rebecca, like you're on my Pinterest.
Rebecca, as a cinephile, what did you like about this film? Like, you watch a lot of movies, so when you say something's good, I'm all ears.
I loved it because I'm a big horror fan, so I'm always looking for something interesting, and I feel like I always rate horror movies on a scale. Like, a bad horror movie is still pretty good to me versus like a bad movie is just bad. But Obsession was so fun and original and really actually scary. It actually, one of the jump scares in the movie actually gave me chills. I had full-on body chills because it freaked me out so badly. Mikey, do you know what it was?
I got chills when she said, I think I ate a bug or something. no, I can't remember it at all.
She moves this really weird way in this movie.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, she moves. The actress moves in the movie. It's not a picture.
I haven't seen it yet.
But it was so disturbing when you think about it in concept, but it was still kind of fun and accessible for anyone who, even people who don't like horror, to go see it. And I really think it's interesting because men who are watching it are taking a very different perspective on it than many women are. Because I listened to Abby talk about it with her co-host Scott on their podcast, of which I am a P1. And his take was so insane that I kind of was yelling at the phone.
Rebecca, I forgot what Scott... So if you don't know, I do another podcast called Unfiltered with my radio co-host Scotty here in Tampa. Rebecca, what did Scotty say? Because I haven't seen the film, so I don't really remember talking about it.
Here, can I do my take and you tell me if it matches or not?
Yes.
I feel like this is a lady's take, though. But the fact that he knew that... All right, spoiler alert, I guess. But... she didn't want to be doing that. There was a different version of herself that did not want to be there. And he disregarded that. He disregarded that, and it felt pretty, I don't know, like kidnapper-ish, like little, yeah, you
creepy
know what I'm
getting
at.
Creepy from, like, man creepy, not creepy.
Yeah, like man,
creepy.
Like, chaining a woman to a radiator creepy. Mm. Mm-hmm. But it's not like that. But, like, yeah, at the end of the day, it's like, do something about this. Don't just be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to forget that I saw that and just keep on hanging out with her.
All right, everybody give snaps to Mikey because he's right.
Wait,
snaps,
is
Mikey.
Right the woman's perspective?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
well,
hang on.
Always. Right answer?
Always. No, there are people who are watching this movie and they're thinking, wow, it's almost like, it's like an abusive relationship. Like, how much will you put up with just for love? Am I going to keep myself in this toxic relationship when the real true, when you look at the bare bones of the story in the movie, it's not, I'm in this toxic relationship and I'm just sticking around. No, it's that he is exploiting her and abusing her with this wish that she had zero consent over. So your snaps to Mikey, he was correct. But when I heard your co-host talk about that, I was like, oh God, no.
Wait, what was his take?
He was saying that they're in, like, why would he stick around through that toxic stuff? Is that what you're getting at, Rebecca?
It was, I don't want to paint a picture of him or, like, say anything that he didn't say. It was just, it was very vague. It was just like a general thing about, like, sticking around in toxic relationships and, like, what you'll, like, put, like, let yourself put up with just because you really like someone or you idealize someone. Yeah. And I was like, that's not the case, sir.
Yeah. Abby, if he needs any help suppressing his toxic masculinity, let me know, because I'll help him out on that.
It is funny that
I'm getting up on my soapbox today, baby.
It is funny that that's the take that he had, because he normally is, like, a feminist and, like, usually takes women's side. But I hadn't seen the film, so I didn't really have a rebuttal. But I do think we just tend to see art through our eyes, and I think most straight women saw that film and thought, oh my God, we have all had that one guy friend that had a crush on us that you just were kind of, like, held prisoner to, because there's really nothing you can do or say, because no matter how many times you tell them it's not going to happen, they always think, so you're saying there's a chance, and you just feel like you can't escape this guy, even if he's not treating you poorly, like, even if he's just your friend, you know, like, in his mind's eye, like, he sees you as like this, as like this not object, but, like, he's objectifying you in that way, and you literally can't escape it. And all you want to do as a woman is just be his friend. And so I think from Scotty's side, he was viewing obsession through, like, his lens of having maybe been in a toxic relationship before and just seeing those experiences through his own past trauma. I don't know.
I want to talk about one more scene of this. Is they're having like a nice dinner somewhere. Yeah. I think this is like towards the beginning of the obsession, but they're having a nice little dinner somewhere. And he's like, yeah, I just think it would be good like if you went home for a night. And she stands up and she goes, no, no, no. And like everybody in the restaurant starts looking. And he's like, it's okay. Never mind. You can stay. It's okay.
We're going to close out the podcast. Be sure to send all your hot office gossip to personalityhirespodcast@gmail.com. And you can also DM us on Instagram @personalityhirespodcast.
And don't forget, friends and neighbors, like, share, subscribe, share with a friend, share with your great aunt, share with your tortoise.
Pioneer.